every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and we are now in the middle of August, and the summer is winding down, and the kids are going back to school, and it's been a long summer, and it's been very active, and they've been doing a lot of things, got to travel a lot. And, you know, I, for one, am happy that the summer hasn't been a typical summer of heat. You know?
I was just about to say, and knock on wood.
Yes.
We've had a pretty mild one this so
yes,
far.
Yes, absolutely. Mildest one on record, I was told. But if you want to fact check that one, you can. But I am good without having these two-week periods of 100-plus degrees baking you, you know, in July and August and whatever. And kind of nice that, you know, we can have 85-degree days. It's okay with me.
There's a nice breeze blowing today. Actually, you know, it's very close this morning to actually put on a sweater.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Very, very close.
Well, you know, there was a month here a couple months ago. Was it May that was kind of gloomy? And, you know, I mean, June gloom, you know, we've had that before too. But I didn't mind the fact that summer got off to possibly a late start.
I do feel bad for these kids these days because it seems that when, you know, I was growing up, school always started in September.
Right.
And now, and I understand why, they want to have equal semesters between Christmas break and the springtime. But I feel bad seeing these. I live across the street from a junior high and seeing these kids come back August 14th.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little early. I mean, thank goodness, like you said, we've had a, you know, somewhat cool summer. But to be, imagine if it was 105 degrees and you're starting school as a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, so much for climate change. Well, and, you know, and as you say, you know, these kids are getting, you know, back to school at the end of summer rather than the beginning of fall. And we don't really have a fall season here. But yeah, it's going to be a little warm, and always am a little concerned about the heat when the kids are out there playing recess.
And you know who's feeling the heat right now? We call that a segue in the business. The Los Angeles Dodgers are feeling the heat. We're going to get into a lot of that, the woes after this first break here. But my goodness, being swept by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim is salt in the wound.
Yeah, well, that's not just this last weekend. It was the weekend before that, too, at Dodger Stadium. So, yeah, they have now fallen down to where everybody else lives, right? And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. And we're going to be able to talk more about that with We'll See About That right after this message. Stay tuned.
And now for Harmony Cheese, here are Vince Ferragamo and Jackie Slater.
Indulge in the exquisite flavors of Harmony Cheese, crafted with passion and precision in Athens, Wisconsin.
Our signature golden age cheeses are a symphony of taste, from the tangy sweetness of cranberry and orange Abergele to the rich, buttery smoothness of our aged Gloucester.
Elevate your charcuterie board with our show-stopping Merlot cheddar, or savor the unique combination of flavors in our portabella and chive Abergele.
Harmony Cheese, rooted in Wisconsin tradition, crafted for discerning palates. Visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
Don't forget to visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
That's harmonycheese.com.
Hey there, sports fans, Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY.
Hi, everyone. Gina Belich here with the Legal Help Center. And we have a special guest with us today, Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis. So, Vernon, tell all of our radio listeners who should call right now.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me join you here in the studio. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon. You heard it, folks. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
They still call me the Penguin. Welcome back to We'll See About That. And we are now going to be moving into our roundtable edition. But before that, I just want to give you a reminder that Melissa's Produce is a proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. You know, before we get talking into the floundering Dodgers, football season is also upon us. And college football is around the corner, pro football is around the corner. But I wanted to ask you a question because we have a marquee matchup in the first week. Number one ranked Texas preseason is facing off with number three ranked and defending national champion Ohio State in Columbus.
Oh, the big house.
And, you know, I personally like to see big games at the beginning, but this one here is kind of like really, really, really big.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is a great idea because one of these teams is going to be already off on the wrong foot, and they're going to have to battle the rest of the way to stay undefeated and have a chance. And both of them do have a chance. They're really good. And, of course, the Manning youngster is going to step into the reins of the quarterback position at Texas. And with all the hype, seems to be a really interesting game. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, in the meantime, some of these other teams are playing, you know, Green Bay High School, you know, for their preseason games before they go into the league schedule and padding their records. So, you know, you would think that, you know, okay, well, and if you do take on bigger games, you know, your chances of going down the tube become, you know, greater.
True. I do very much like seeing, a premier marquee matchup first thing. I think it sets the table. That will be, it's a 9 a.m. start time local, which is a little bit weird, but Ohio State is a 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
Probably it's just based off playing at home. That's usually, you get 2.5 points usually for just being at home, which the odd makers are saying that the teams are even when it comes to
right.
To talent.
That's about what I understand the spread to be. When you have a 2.5 point, then it means, you know, it's probably an even game. But, you know, Texas is the first team to be ranked number one in the preseason and go into their first game as an underdog.
Yeah.
In football history.
Yeah. Well, I think there's been a lot of questions about, you know, Texas. They have rebuilt their program. They have so much money to spend, too, with, you know, all their alumni, famous alumni, and also their television media network. But I think the Manning storyline is going to drive the storyline for all of college football if they win this game. If they lose this first game, I think Mr. Manning's going to drive the storyline and why he's you know, not living up to the legacy of his uncle and father and other uncle.
Yeah, well, you see, that's the problem with it. You know, if this was a game that was four or five games down the road, you know, for him to get an opportunity to at least get, you know, his feet wet a little bit. But to come out of the chute, having this kind of a big game in front of him is a difficult task.
If Texas does lose this first game at Ohio State, they do have somewhat of a path to make up for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like you talked about lining the tomato cans, they're home at San Jose State the following week. UTEP after that, Sam Houston. The next time they play a ranked team would be week five at Florida. And the next time they're going to play a top 10 team as it stands will be week eight at Georgia. So, I mean, there is, if they do stumble in this first game, I think they can recover and perhaps be a title contender.
I think that either way it works out for each team. I think there's a real great possibility that they will still be in contention for those final spots for the playoffs.
As we've seen last season too, I mean, record is not necessarily indicative of getting into the CFP because you know it's based off strength. It's like this whole like formula, strength of schedule, all this kind of stuff. So I mean, you can have teams like Boise State that go undefeated that are left out of the whole mix.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you saw what happened. You saw that all the teams that were getting their first round byes ended up losing the next game. They've altered that, I guess. And, you know, you look at Oregon, and Oregon was the one who went through the whole season, you know, ranked number one, beat Ohio State at home, you know, and the luck of the draw, you know, out of the chute, they get the bye. They're the number one overall seed. And who do they have to play first game out? Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how does that supposed to work? You're supposed to have the least resistant path if you're ranked number one. All these other teams are going to be beating up each other, and you're supposed to play the winner of that one, which is more fair.
Yeah.
But I just felt I just felt that Oregon got the bad end of that deal all the way.
Oregon, of course, ranked seventh coming into the preseason. Sadly, in your Washington State Cougars, not on the list.
No, there's only one other team on the coast, I believe, that's and that's Arizona State. That's a preseason rank.
At 11,
And so that doesn't say much for West Coast football, you know. And of course, now with Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA, part of the Big Ten, I mean, you know, nothing exists like you knew it to be, and we're only beginning our second year. But, you know, Oregon, an incredible first year out of the chute. You know, we'll see what happens. They're back again. Penn State, Ohio State, they're up back at the top.
Yeah.
Michigan's nowhere to be found. Wisconsin is nowhere to be found. You know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, Georgia's – you know, still in the mix. You know, the top 10 teams are pretty much the top 10 teams you thought they would be.
Clemson back in the mix.
Yeah.
They had a tough stretch these past couple of years after Lawrence left, but now it seems they're back on their game.
And you know, I think they're number four, and they to me have an easy road. They have some difficult games, but I mean, you could pretty much say, regardless who we're playing, we got 9 wins in the bag already. You know. And everybody's got to play a few games, you know, where they get stretched a little bit. But I do feel like Clemson, you know, out of the rest of the schedules that I've seen, the teams playing, you know, they've got a pretty good path.
Yeah, I think the Clemson they do. I mean, they do open at home against LSU.
Yeah, is their tough game out of the chute.
Yeah, but then listen to this. They're at Troy, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College. The next ranked team they play would be the number 16 SMU Mustangs in week 7. Duke, Florida State, Louisville, Furman, and then they round out the season at South Carolina, only playing 3 ranked teams all season.
I mean,
that's a nice path to walk through.
It is in the moment. But the part that you know I dislike about you know teams beating ranked teams early in the season is because some of these teams are it's just a prediction. You know, some of these teams aren't very good. Some of these teams that are ranked in the top 25 are not going to be that good. Yet the other team that beats them is going to be given bonus points for it. And that's why I think sometimes when you go through and look at the difficulty of the schedule, maybe you shouldn't even be looking at that either until like week five to see where this thing kind of pans out a little bit. Because if you have a top-ranked team, you know, say a top 10-ranked team, I think it happened last year, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but, you know, they lost two games right away. Mm-hmm. But those teams got credit for beating the top 10 teams, so that gives you bonus points.
Yep.
And yet, you know, it shouldn't have happened because they were just another team.
Well, that was kind of the Colorado State, you know, situation when you had the whole, you know, Sanders, you know, show going on there with his, you know, kids and him, you know, primetime coaching. And yeah, they beat two ranked teams to start this, you know, out their season, but then they went 4-7 the rest of the year. And so, but yet because they had stars on the field and on the sideline, they were in the national conversation as a 4-7 team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think what they have done is they saw the handwriting on the wall, you know, because the first national ranking that they give towards, you know, who goes to the postseason, they wait till like week six or something. And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You know,
I totally agree because some of these preseason rankings are based off the recruiting class they bring.
Right.
And who knows if those kids are going to be able to adjust to the level they're playing at.
Well, as it has been said many, many, many times before, you're only as good as your players, right? And college football has changed to such a degree now that we have NILs and transfer portals, and it's like free agency every year. So college football has been changed forever.
And it's going to change considerably more over time as more of those NIL deals.
And they're going to have to do, and the transfer portal, they definitely have to take a look at. We're going to be right back with more about, we'll see about that right after this.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say.
And we are back, the Ron Say Show, with the legend, the MVP, the champion, Ron Say himself. I am Mike Gary. And Ron, just a couple months ago, we were sitting here in the same room doing the same great show and talking about previewing the 2025 MLB season and reading all the coverage. And the Dodgers were the next reincarnation of the 27 Yankees. They were going to win 130 games. They were going to score 10,000 runs. Yeah. You know, Shohei Ohtani was going to hit 80 home runs and also have a 20-game winner and all that. And now, and then they did it. They had a nice stretch. They were, I believe, 16 games in front at one point. But now, as of the time you're listening to this, as we're taping, the Dodgers are now one game behind the San Diego Padres in the division. An epic collapse. They just got swept by the Los Angeles Angels. What has happened to the Dodgers?
Well, you know, I think we alluded to it here in the last couple of weeks, and I even said that, you know, one of the more disappointing teams that I thought in baseball for me was the Padres, because they just hadn't – they're just kind of lumbering along. And, you know, since July 4th, the Dodgers have a record of 12-21. And they squandered, I think, a 9-game lead over the Padres. I think the Giants were actually in front of the Padres in the standing, but they were both well out of the race at that point in time. And it looked like the Dodgers were going to coast into another, you know, divisional championship and be the top seed and be able to do things the way they wanted to do it. Well, since then, you know, they're not pitching very well. Their bullpen has been a real problem. They lost their closer earlier to the IL, and he hadn't done very well up to that point either. Their hitting has gone awry. And yet, in this last stretch here, you know, they've scored five or more runs in the last 9 games, and they still can't win any games.
I mean, they pretty much quintessentially got walked off 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
And you know, the games, they're not really, you know, getting blown out. They're competitive games, but the body language looks terrible. Dave Roberts is you know, getting a little bit out of pocket in the media, which is never a good sign.
No.
The injuries, like you said, but also the lack of moves they made at the trade deadline.
Well, that's true. In their case, they felt that they had what they needed, or whatever they did need wasn't available. However, the Padres did do some work at the trade deadline and got some players that have helped them. They've got two new guys in the lineup that are helping them. And they have been playing better. You know, they made up a 10-game deficit, essentially, in basically 5 weeks. Recipe for disaster. If Dodger fans aren't concerned at this point in time, you better tune it up a little bit, because this is a big series this weekend. The Dodgers are hosting the Padres. They are the defending champions. They have the Padres basically not answered the bell as well. You know, they got a lot of scrutiny for last year's downfall, of which they had the Dodgers against the wall and let them get away. Now they've grown a lot since then. You know, they have recovered and they are making noise. And it's going to be interesting to see not only this series this weekend, but the following weekend the Dodgers go down to San Diego. So they're going to be head-to-head here. Pretty much 6 games of the next 9 for the next 10 days or so. And if the Dodgers can't recover, you know, there's question as to really, you know, where are they gonna turn, because right now there's a rift in the clubhouse.
You think, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the other day they said, well, Dave Roberts reprimanded Ohtani, right? And, you know, it was for getting thrown out at third base on a steal attempt. I'm pretty sure Shohei Ohtani has the green light, as did Maury Wills, as did Davey Lopes. And the comment was, you know, he went on his own. Probably not a good move. And yet you approved this
Yeah.
Hugh gave him the green light. Yes, it was probably an error in judgment. But you can't throw him under the bus for that. You know, he made a mistake. You could have said, yeah, it wasn't a great mistake. He does have the green light. It was a poor choice of going at that point in time. But to say, well, he ran on his own kind of reflects a different way.
Yeah.
You know, like, and somebody wrote something about, well, how come the Dodgers can't get this guy under control? Why doesn't he know he's not supposed to be stealing at this point in time? And it kind of goes against the whole point of the green light.
Yeah.
Right? Because these guys are good at making judgments. They're good at picking pitches. They're good at reading the pitchers' moves and everything else that goes along with it. They know the game circumstances. That's why they've got the green light. And they're the best on the team, possibly the best in baseball at stealing bases.
I mean, he went 50-50. I mean, it's the man knows how to steal bases. I mean, right. he's the Dodgers' best player. Probably one of the best player in Major League Baseball, arguably.
He's in the mix.
To me, I see that as Dave Roberts, almost like a desperation move to, like you said, get that clubhouse under control. I think it's strategically a bad mistake. Because, I mean, Shohei Ohtani does not have the reputation of being a malcontent, either on the field, off the field, and in the locker room.
Well,
and so if Dave Roberts is like, well, I need to, you know, light a fire under my team's behind, I'm going to scream at Shohei Ohtani in private and also blast him in the public. Yeah. I think that's a huge mistake on Dave Roberts' part.
I don't know if he did a behind closed doors thing. You know, if it was, I just don't know that. But the interesting thing that I have seen also in the last few days is there was an article that came out and said, you know, the Dodgers are really disappointing Shohei Ohtani. You know, it's like, you know, he's doing everything he can. You guys suck. And I found that to be like, wait a minute, you're going to say that Ohtani over here, you know, he's doing so great and that you're going to blame the rest of the players for all of this? You're all in it as one, guys, the way I see it. And, you know, and in his recent pitching performance, you know, he gave up 4 runs in 5 innings to the Angels, okay? So, I mean, he's not without criticism here. That was not a good outing, okay? It was not a quality outing. Yeah. Not. And, you know, he hasn't pitched that much in his return. So I don't know what their plans are. But, you know, you can't just say, well, it just irritates the situation when you start giving, you know, hey, it's not his fault, you know, can't blame him. And, yes, he's been the best player. He is the best player. He's the highest paid player.
Yeah.
But when you're in this, you win and lose as a team. Okay. And sometimes you go in and you performed and you lose 5-0 and you feel good about your performance. And there are other days where you go out there and your team wins 8-0 and you do nothing. And you're supposed to be able to handle that the same way. You want to walk back in there with a grin on your face after you went 0-for-4 and struck out 4 times.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the way it kind of has to go. And you don't want to gloat when your team loses and you had a great game. You just take it in stride. We lost. We win. Okay? So it has a chance to rub you the wrong way. And I didn't care for the take by the writer. I don't think he was an LA writer. But this is a difficult time for the Dodgers. You know, their whole thing is coming apart big time, and we'll see how they respond.
I mean, do you think that has something to do with the fact that because they're the defending champions, they spend more money than anybody else? That, you know, it's obvious they have a bullseye on their back every time, and so even, you know, teams that are well out of the hunt will give their best effort because they want to beat the defending champs.
I thought that was one of the reasons why we were so successful as a group for so many years when we were here together. Four World Series in 10 years, and we had one of the best teams, if not the best team that I saw in my career, this 1976 Cincinnati Reds. With the likes of Bench, Perez, Morgan, Concepcion, Rose, Foster, Geronimo, and Griffey. That's
big red machine.
Big red machine. And they won back-to-back world championships in 75 and 76, but the 76 team I thought was the best team I ever played against. But we had real competition, and winners had to go forward, and you were always tested. And we got things done. And we had a bullseye on our forehead as well. I think, as big, if not bigger, than the ones that they have today. But we understood the challenges and responsibilities of it. And it helped us prepare when we knew that regardless of whether we're playing the Cincinnati Reds or the last team in our division, they're going to come at us like the Cincinnati Reds. And that helped us prepare. We don't have an easy game out there to play. We are playing this kind of caliber of we're going to raise everybody's level of play.
Yeah.
Just because they would rather beat us than they would rather beat anybody else. And so they're going to get tested. And it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. As I said, you know, there's plenty of time. But and there will be a break, I think, because they are they get to play Colorado here pretty soon. And then it turns around, and actually when you get into September, they have the Cincinnati Reds, who are still in the race, and they're playing well enough to be, you know, in the mix. And you still have more Padres and more Giants, and you also end up with Seattle in Seattle, and Seattle is in a heated battle.
Seattle's tough this year.
Okay, so there's not going to be any easy games down the stretch for the Dodgers if they're kind of trying to get their mojo back.
Yeah, they do get, like you said, 3-game set in Colorado. Then they have a series against the Giants, then the Phillies, then the Giants again.
Phillies, yeah.
4-game stretch against the Giants, Arizona, and then, like you said, round out the season with the 3-game set at Seattle.
And that could be very important. Yeah. Very important. I know it's going to be important for Seattle.
Absolutely. Stick around, you guys. We'll see about that with the legend, the champion, the world MVP, Ron Say. I'm Mike Gary. Stay with us.
John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Kohl's back to school sale is here with deals on looks your kids will love all year. Because even though they're sad summer is ending, let's be real, some of us are ready. It's time to trade the all-day PJs and always damp swimsuits for styles that'll keep up and hold up so your kids will be ready too. Shop Kohl's back to school sale and bring on the new year. Select styles, prices good through August 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers. The Dodgers of old.
And we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say, I'm Mike Gary. Make sure to check out Ron's fantastic book, Penguin Power, available on his website, theronsayshow.com, or wherever you get your books. Also, make sure to follow him on Instagram as well, The Real Ron Say. And this day in Dodger history, 1976, the Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the New York Mets with a dramatic 6-5 victory at Dodger Stadium in the finale. The Dodgers rallied from a 5-2 deficit when Steve Garvey hit a three-run home run to tie the game, and then Ron Say followed with a walk-off home run to win it all. Charlie Ho became the winning pitcher. How was that?
Well, we had no business winning that game. We were getting handled pretty good, and all of a sudden, you know, they left the door ajar, and Garvey was able to connect on a three-run home run, and then Bob Apodaca comes out of the bullpen to try and quiet the storm.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first or second pitch I buried to left field, and we walk off and we win. And you know, I remember a similar thing that happened when I was in the minor leagues in Spokane, and we had this team from Hawaii that was stacked with a lot of former major league players who were trying to just stay alive, and they had a pitcher named Dennis Rybant who pitched for the New York Mets, and he was pitching a gem, two hit shutout with two outs in the ninth inning, and I'm on deck, and I had one of the two hits previously, and Tom Pashorek hits a game tying home run. And I came up and hit a walk-off home run.
Oh, nice.
Two outs, back-to-back home runs. The guy threw his glove into the...
Oh, no.
I mean, it was great, but I do remember that. But, I mean, wow. Sometimes there are games that, you know, there's just one little thing that happens. It kind of opens the door, and then the floodgates are there.
Well, speaking of that, perfect segue here. I mean, in that second set game of the set against the Angels where the Dodgers were swept, you know, Shohei Ohtani comes in, hits a home run.
Yeah.
And then his next at-bat, he comes up and he hits into a triple play.
Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, so talk about triple plays. You've done that. You've hit into a triple play, yeah. And you've executed a triple play before.
Yeah, I was also part of a no-hitter for and against, too. So I kind of experienced it on both sides. But in this one game that I was playing, we were playing the Cardinals at Dodger Stadium, and there was nobody out, and count was 3-2, and so the runners are off and running. And Joe Torre was playing, I believe, first base for the Cardinals. And I hit a line drive to Joe Torre because he was playing behind the runners, you know, in that case. And so the runners were dead ducks. You know, oh, man, I mean, the last thing you want to do is do that. I mean, it's just, you know, you got such a great opportunity here, and you hit the ball okay, but it turned into a triple play. And Ohtani did the same thing, except he probably hit his ball a little bit harder than I did, and it was just perfect circumstances. You know, the shortstop was playing right behind the bag. You had runners at first and second, and all he did was – catch the ball, step on second, throw to first, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, hot shot line drive right up the middle, right into the second baseman's glove. Yeah. And it was so fast, too, that the base runners, they've already made their move. And so by the time it hits their glove, they're in their motion to run towards the next base, and there's no chance.
There is no chance. And the one that I did turn was maybe one of the harder triple plays that you're going to turn. We had runners at first and second base, and Rick Rodin, who was a teammate of mine earlier in my career, was the hitter, and he was a good hitting pitcher. And so we were playing up for the bunt, and I was standing just a little bit in front of the bag on the grass, and he hits a one-hopper right to me towards the bag. All I did was turn around, step on the bag, throw to second base, boom, boom, boom. We got a triple play, a ground-out triple play. And those are really hard because usually you're too far away from the bag. You can't do it. You might get a force out. You might get a double play by going to first base. But usually you're not going to be able to turn a triple play. But it has been done. And, that was great. That was really cool.
Yeah, the you know, hot shot around the corner, those are always the funnest to watch because, I mean, that looks like by light. But it's poetry in motion. But like you said, you know, before we talked about this, you know, the conditions have to be perfectly right for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
The ball has to be hit. you know, hard enough
right.
that it gets to you in time, yeah. but not hard enough to get past you. I want to go back to something what you said about the no-hitters that you've been a part of for yeah. and against.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated when you're playing for a team whose pitcher is on the cusp of a no-hitter.
Yeah.
How much pressure as a playing defense to protect that no-hitter? What's that like?
You know, I had one of those. I had a no-hitter in the minor leagues too. That was done in double A ball, I think. And that was a lot. That was cool. The one that happened in Major League Baseball was up in Candlestick Park, Jerry Royce. He pitched Bill Russell had made an error, I think, in the second game, so he was one over the limit for a perfect game. And it became, you know, like, oh boy, I just don't want to do anything. I want to protect against everything. You know, I got to be careful. And there was a hitter that came up, was kind of in between, which means I got to play up because we did actually bunt in our era of baseball. So I was up on the edge of the grass, and I was going to stay there until, you know, we got to two strikes because the kid ran well, okay? I had to protect against it because there was definitely – I mean, you're going to try what you can do, whatever you can do to break up a no-hitter. And so I stayed up there, and I had a ball that was hit to my left, and I took two steps, and I dove, and I probably dove. I didn't probably have to dive for it. But I was just in a – I was saying, I'm going to make sure this ball doesn't get by me. You know, so it was a little overdramatic. You know, it wasn't a bigger – and I self-admit that. But I just didn't want this ball to get by me because I didn't dive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I did. And I think that was in the eighth inning. And that's the closest thing that I had to come to being a part of, you know, getting by us. And then fortunately for Jerry, he got to two outs in the ninth inning, and he had a little tapper back to the mound.
Ah.
So made it perfect. And then, of course, we converged on him at the mound, and it was a great day. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You just said something interesting that I want to probe for a second, that you know, you'll do anything to break up a no-hitter.
Yeah.
In the unwritten rules of baseball, mm-hmm. the etiquette – you know, yeah. the lore. That's a thing. Like there are certain things that you'll slide in hard. You'll try to, by hook or crook, try to break up a no-hitter, and there's nothing out of bounds for that?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of things that were, you know, unwritten laws in baseball.
Give me some examples of some unwritten laws in baseball.
Oh, you don't steal with like a six-run lead, you know, in the seventh inning, you know, and you're ahead, you know.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. You know, they take offense to that. Something along those lines. Today there is there's no rules because everybody celebrates anything. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a situation, which I'll go back in time, 1979, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They went from the Pittsburgh Lumber Company to having some of those guys there, but they had a lot of rabbits, meaning guys who could run, okay? Yeah. And they would steal. They needed to steal bases. They needed to cause havoc, just like the Cardinals did, just like the Houston Astros did when the Astrodome became too big for them. And so they switched their personnel. They got a bunch of guys who could run. And so Pittsburgh now, and it's the start of the season, and Chuck Tanner was the manager of the Pirates, and he basically comes out and says, I'm going to just let you guys know how we're going to play baseball this year because I don't have the kind of lineup that I can hit three-run home runs like a lot of you guys can do. So I hope you're not offended when we're running when we're six runs ahead and we're six runs behind.
Yeah.
Okay? And it kind of took – you know, the edge off of it. They said they were going to run when they're six runs behind. Okay, we welcome that. But that's the way, and he made it plain and clear. And we're not trying to embarrass anybody, but we can't score runs like you guys can, so we're going to try to steal them. And that's what they did. So nobody was offended by it. But, there's all kinds of, I mean, these bat flips, and I don't know if they're doing it as much, or at least there's not as much attention paid to it as there was maybe 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah,
when they first started making, oh my God, did you see this bat flip? And then guys were getting upset with it too, you know. And then of course after that, you know, you started seeing pitchers, you know, kind of going to pull out a sword or put their sword back in there,
double guns, bang.
Yeah, yeah, bang, or they sit to the sky and do something, whatever else they're going to do. And there was one guy Wasn't it there was a relief pitcher who had the hat on sideways? I can't remember. Very successful. You know, he kind of do this.
The arrow.
Arrow like Usain Bolt used to do when he was running. And so, yeah, you kind of took, you know, that and said, hey, listen, it's open game. It's entertainment. You know, this is what we're going to do. Nobody get offended. You know.
So, Ron, if you, you know, back in your time, you know, hit a home run, a towering shot, and then stood there and admired it for about 5 seconds, and then flipped your bat in some ornate manner, and then did, you know, double guns and then the arrow, Usain Bolt, and but you're facing Bob Gibson, how would that work out for you?
He might have chased me around the bases. I think I told this story a while ago. You know, I was fortunate. I hit a game-winning home run off of him and in St. Louis. And I tried to get around the bases as fast as I could. You know, I mean, I wasn't afraid of him in that sense. It was just that, you know, there was a little bit more respect or, you know, gamesmanship or whatever, the etiquette of it. You just didn't show people up, you know. They feel bad enough about it. You don't want to make an enemy out of this guy. And there was another time where I chased him with a bases loaded double in St. Louis. And you know, I got to second base, and I did not turn and face home plate. I looked straight out at center field because I knew he was coming out of the game. I didn't want to irritate him at all.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to get plunked the next time around because guys can hit you whenever they want to. They know exactly where to throw it and do damage. And I, you know, I just didn't need to have that happen. So I was going to not irritate the situation at all. But guys today, I don't think they care at all. You know,
Gary Sheffield just told a good story involving Pedro Martinez where he wanted to rattle Pedro. And so he would get in and step in and then step out.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that a couple times and Pedro hit him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Gary Sheffield, who famously knows how to handle himself, you know, he gave him the stare down on the way down to first base.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed like it was over at that point.
I guess it's just, you know, how well you are able to, you know, project the what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, Pedro was notorious for responding. You know, Tom Seaver was a guy who said, I'm not going to give this guy a chance
free
to get on
play,
base.
Free pass,
I'm going to
just
get him out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get him out.
That's more. That's the most punishment you can give him is embarrass him, strike him out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's we handled things differently. We policed ourselves really good. We made sure that, you know, we weren't trying to, you know, do anything else except win the game and then celebrate in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not on the field afterwards for 15
minutes.
Yeah,
there's time to do that. You know, you're happy. There's a kid running around, but you got to know when to stop. Okay, we're going to be right back. We'll see about that when we take this quick break. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron.
And we are back. We'll see about that. Ron Say, I'm Mike Gary, wrapping things up. Thank you so much for joining us. All past and previous sessions are available right on Ron's website, theronsayshow.com, also available on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Ron, to wrap things up, let's talk about a couple other teams outside of the Los Angeles area, specifically the Mets.
Well, I just saw a graphic the other day. The metric said that over the last 44 games that the Mets, and they're trying once again to return to the postseason, and the Phillies got a five-game lead on them as we speak, that their record was 19-25. Not very good. As a matter of fact, not so good that even the Chicago White Sox have that same record over the same period of games.
Yeah.
That's not going to win you anything. And, you know, I was watching a game just the other night, and I had watched the first couple of innings, and it was the Mets and the Braves. And the Mets were ahead 6-0, I believe, in the third inning. When I looked back later on, it was 11-6 Atlanta.
Ugh.
You cannot
have that.
Cannot lose games that when you're six runs ahead. I mean, you got to be able to do something more offensively, and you got to be able to close the door.
Well,
it's just amazing.
It is amazing, and sad times in New York City right now, because not only the Mets, you know, 2-8 in their last 10, but man, the Yankees do not look good.
They are really, really struggling.
And a lot of mistakes.
And they are getting hammered in the media, too, by two former players.
A-Rod and Derek Jeter, who normally don't agree on much, both came out publicly to say that you just cannot make these kind of mistakes. A-Rod said no one's being held accountable.
Yeah,
and you have, you know, Mr. Boone, the manager, and Brian Cashman, the GM. They are a lot of calls for their heads to be put on spikes.
Oh, you know, I think that, you know, look, you got the biggest market in baseball. You got $1 billion.
All the money you could spend.
Spending the television contract's $1 billion. Okay, the radio contract's enormous as well. And, you know, I've always felt that, you know, you need to get to the World Series every year. And, you know, and there's been, you know, a lot of Aaron Boone talk for a number of years now. I think he's hanging by a thread. I think the Yankees really do need to get into playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, I think that you're going
to
see
Mr. Boone needs to find a real estate agent.
Well, I don't know, but you know they stayed with him after last year's fall, you know. Anyway, we'll see what happens. We're going to play it out. We've got another month and a half, so stay tuned. Watch that Major League Baseball, fans. It's going to be great to the end. Thanks so much for joining us.